Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, top of the hour, 7:03 a.m. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Miss Allie Mack in day number 9 with us. She has not run away yet, so shout out to her. Happy to have her, bringing all the good vibes, and just still not establishing a milligram limit on the caffeine intake, but it's another conversation for another day.
So bizarre that you have a milligram limit.
I have to. You know what I mean? If not, I just continue to just diet Mountain Dews and Mellow Yellows and the whole bit. You know, I have to get my water intake at a certain point. I have to cut myself off. And look, that's probably the reason I'm battling gout right now. Let's just call a spade a spade. I had to go to the doctor yesterday for the old gout. Got some nice medication. Got a good night's sleep last night, if you will.
How old are you?
38. Gout is not age-related, Garrett. Don't look at me like that.
Okay. Don't you love that that's everyone's first question,
but it
though?
Sounds so old
it
when
does
you say
sound,
gout.
It's you and Steak Shapiro.
Yeah, I know. It's a tough group to be aligned with in this studio. You know what I mean?
Well,
it's a tough
group.
They
call it a King's disease.
King's disease. So. Nonetheless, got a much better night's sleep last night, and one of the highlights of my day yesterday. And let's just pull back the curtain here, okay? Let's just pull back the curtain.
Well, please do.
Brian McFadden did an interview, A Day in the Life of Michael Penix, and watched the video yesterday. It dropped yesterday on the CBS Sports. I saw it on the YouTube page. I know that they've got a number of different places, their app and everything else. All right, so I'm going through this, and we're going to get to the audio of Brian McFadden asking Michael Penix about, hey, would you guys have made the playoffs if you had started earlier? All right, I'm going to get to that audio in just a second. But there was a moment in time yesterday. Dylan's not in the studio today. He's taking a couple days off. All right, going on a trip with the girlfriend. There are no four people in the city of Atlanta probably less qualified to comment on this situation. Like, let's just rip the Band-Aid off. Let's pull it back. To the point where Garrett and I had the same reaction when we were talking about this cut. And essentially, it's Bryant McFadden asking Michael Penix about his do-rag.
Mm-hmm.
And before I texted you guys about the do-rag, I had to hit Google to see how you spell do-rag. I was like, man, how do you spell do-rag? Is it D-double-O?
How did you think?
I put D-O-O-R-A-G, do-rag, you know? And did you know how to spell it, Allie? Because you're looking at me like, dude, come on.
Well, no. I don't. Because I make notes during the show. And earlier in the show, we referenced this video and we mentioned the do-rag.
Yeah.
And so I was making the notes and I was like, wait, D-O-O.
Yeah, exactly. And so I walk back there and I'm talking to Garrett and he goes, how do you spell do-rag? I was like, dude. So I want to let you guys listen to this. And maybe somebody that is more familiar with these situations can let us know how we should feel about this. But this is Brian McFadden. This is Michael Penix's response to Brian McFadden going, hey, dude, how often or how long do you wear that do-rag for?
You got to catch me at like a dinner.
Okay.
Arthur Blank.
Yep, with Mr. Blank.
Anytime I'm around Arthur Blank.
You don't have to do-rag.
Unless we had a game, I don't got a do-rag on.
Yeah, because when you went to the Hawks game, you didn't have one on then.
I ain't have one on then. So you got to catch me at a big event. That's
big
all
event. Other than that, you went to do-rag.
Yeah.
I'm in the facilities. Working out.
Yeah. I don't got to take it off.
Do you shower with the do-rag too?
I shower with it. At the facility. But as soon as I get in the car, I'll take it off.
I mean, like, that was the point where I was like, well, that's interesting. I don't know that I ever had any teammates that showered in their do-rag. It's not like he's getting it wet or anything, but man, I was like, that seems pretty intense. Cause he made the point that like, I'm kind of trolling at this point. He said, he's like, I'm basically trolling people because they want to know what's going on under the do-rag. And I just wear it at all times. Not that he hasn't been seen publicly,
I love Brian. I've gotten to know him very well. And I love the question thing, but I think he should have took it a step further. Like, how many do-rags do you have?
Right.
What
different colors do you have?
Do you have a practice do-rag, a game do-rag,
yeah,
like a shower do-rag? Do you have different color do-rags? Because I only remember seeing the black one that he wears.
Surely he's worn a red at some point, right?
Well, and I think he wore like a purple one when he was playing for Washington.
Yeah.
But like, you know, is there a specific brand that you like better? I mean, there's so many. You could do a whole interview on a do-rag. You know, it's like I like hats. Like, I have a different hat for outfits. I get a different hat for golf. Like, I mean, I wash my hats sometimes. Do you wash the do-rags or you just throw them away and buy new ones? Like, I've got all kinds of questions. I don't know anything about them.
Yeah, this could really turn into a big thing like Michael Harris with his headbands, because you always want to see what headband he's wearing because he's always got one. So now
They actually make a little bit of a plea, and he's like, man, you know, Brian McFadden ends it by saying, be nice. You go on a playoff run, maybe win a Super Bowl, get a do-rag deal, and, like, this thing would be off and running. And Penix is like, that's the dream. Like,
can you imagine if his endorsements with do-rags top his salary?
And there's got to be, like, can you imagine, like, the t-shirt? Like, you know how Anthony Davis had the brow, the unibrow t-shirts that were made, and it was just his eyes and the unibrow? Like, there's so many different ways you can go with that, like, in terms of just a logo of just Michael Penix with a do-rag on. It'd be so sick.
I do have mad respect for Anthony Davis profiting off of having
of course,
a unibrow.
100%.
And owning it. Because so many, Allie, you know, so many people when they, like in college it's one thing, right? But when you get to another level and you kind of, there's kind of a different light shined on you, you kind of change, right? And he's like, nah, man, I mean, I'll make money off of it.
Yeah.
It is amazing to look at athletes' first pictures when they're first coming out. Yeah. And then fast forward, like if you look at Tom Brady, you know, from 20 years ago versus today.
Oh, God.
There's some chiseling happening.
Yeah. A little bit of jawline going on. Yeah, no big deal. A little bit of health. Looks actually better now than he did 20 years ago.
Right, Tom Brady's a walking conspiracy theory.
Oh, here we go.
I'm just saying. You know? Think about it.
All right, well, we're going to pivot.
He looks completely different now.
Yeah.
Kind of like Barry Bonds' head got four sizes bigger. Of course, that was not a conspiracy. It was a steroid.
Like Brett Favre's hands, the HGH allegedly just got there. Anyways, let's pivot. I do want to talk a little bit about the conversation they had. So let me frame this correctly. Brian McFadden, just straight up, and they're eating in a Waffle House. Like, it's really cool. Brian McFadden, by the way, put ketchup in his grits during this interview. Big pause on that one. Like, just slow your roll. And Michael Penix was like, look, man, I'm from Florida, and like, I'm from the South too, but that ain't a thing. Anyways, so
is that worse than mayonnaise and coffee?
Whoa! Okay.
Oh, who does
that's Will Levis. Come on, that was like very.
Yeah. No, I thought he put. I thought it was something with bananas with him.
Oh. Yeah. Well, people are trying to eat breakfast.
He's the mayonnaise guy. Yeah. All right. He's the mayonnaise man.
All right, he is the mayonnaise guy. Who eats the banana with the pill and everything? Who did that?
No clue.
Probably sprinkles.
Yeah.
Who?
Hey, let's.
Wait. You just say something about my dog? What'd you say?
Sprinkles probably takes a pill with banana. That's what I was saying.
Let me tell you, don't talk about my dog. No, Garrett. We have problems.
We are going to have problems if we don't get to this cut in the next 10 seconds. All right, let's talk about Michael Penix being asked, look, man, and Brian McFadden did a great job, guys. He just spelled it out. He goes, if you would have been the starting quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons sooner in the year last year, would you have guys gone to the playoffs?
I don't know, man. I just control what I can control, man. Just go out there and be the best me I can each and every day. So I don't know. I can't say that, you know, because it could have been the other way too. So at the end of the day, you know, when my time came, I had to be ready. So.
Now, Bo, he follows this up by saying, I'll say it for you. Y'all would have gone to the playoffs. And I love B-Mac, man. There's no doubt that everybody at the station loves B-Mac. Great. I mean, he did a great job of this interview. I got to disagree with him. I don't think there was any point that you could have pulled two-time NFC Offensive Player of the Week, Kirk Cousins, out of lineup before you did. I know there's a lot of back and forth. He didn't play well against New Orleans. He obviously didn't play well against the Chargers, but you thought he would regain that magic against the Raiders, and he didn't, and he was replaced. So it's kind of a revisionist history, in my opinion.
And he played pretty decent against the Vikings. The one pick was bad, but the second pick I still don't blame on him. And he made some throws that didn't look very injured in that game to me. I do not like the question. I think it's a loaded question. And me and B-Mac are buddies. We text all the time. And I would be like, dude, why would you set him up like that? Because as a guy that played, you know that you know he can't answer that question any other way than the way he did. It's one of those questions where it's only asked to say you asked a tough question.
Yeah.
And I don't like it. I don't think it's fair. It's not fair, but not especially knowing Mike that he's going to sit in the locker room as it sits today. He's going to be sitting in the locker room in the meeting rooms with said Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, but to that point, I love the fact that Michael Penix was at least put up to bat and answered it correctly. Like, that's the only way you go. Now, you've done interviews before, musicians and everything else.
Yeah.
That's really the only route he could have taken, was to say, I don't know, man, control what you can control.
Absolutely. Yeah, he had such restraint there. That is some really great willpower to not really say anything on the opinion, but still say something and sound gracious and amazing.
Yeah, I just think, like I said, a little bit of revisionist history. And I thought Brian McFadden did a great job doing that interview. I do want to get on the other side of the break into some Hawaiian roll stuff. Let's get into this Bijan Robinson conversation real quick. We've got a minute left or 2 minutes left. And Bo, you and I talked about this a little bit yesterday. I talked about with Dylan. I wanted to see what Bijan Robinson's MVP odds were. And when I went to look for them and the updated MGM, BetMGM odds and everything else, he is so far down the list that it took me like 2 minutes to be able to catch up and actually find out where Bijan Robinson is. And I think his odds are actually worse this year than they were last year. I think they should be a lot higher. As a matter of fact, Michael Penix is higher on the MVP list, and that's because it's a quarterback award. You haven't seen a running back win in the last 13 years. We also haven't seen a running back like Bijan Robinson very much, other than Christian McCaffrey and a number of other guys. Adrian Peterson was the last running back to win it in 2012. Bijan Robinson, as it sits on BetMGM right now, Bo, plus 15,000. He's right there along with the likes of Christian McCaffrey and CeeDee Lamb. He rushed for over 1,400 yards last year. Adrian Peterson cracked 2,000 in his MVP campaign. You go back to the likes of Sean Alexander and guys like that that won it in the mid-2000s. You think if Bijan Robinson, Bo, got to 2,000 yards this year somehow, and maybe because Michael Penix opened up the offense, that we would be having serious conversations about Bijan Robinson being an MVP candidate?
2,000 wouldn't be enough. He got almost to 2,000 last year. And, it, you know, I think he had like 15 touchdowns too. I think the Falcons, first off, have to be very successful. But he had 1,887 all-purpose yards last year with 15 touchdowns. Saquon Barkley doesn't have, and Derrick Henry don't do what they did last year. Do you not think he gets more run? Or maybe the team makes the playoffs? I think it's not a one or the other. It's not, you know, it's not an all or nothing sum with 2,000 yards. I think it is a 2,000 yards, 20 total touchdowns. The Falcons are 12-5 or better, somewhere in there. And even then, I think Bijan Robinson has a chance to get overshadowed.
Yeah.
Because what if Michael Penix goes out and throws for, I don't know, what do you say, Garrett? 4,500, 25 touchdowns, and 8 interceptions.
Put that in my veins right now.
And
in my veins.
And then the combination of Jalen Walker and James Pierce and Leonard Floyd and AK and Trice, suddenly, and obviously the rest of the guys on defense, they have this, you know, the defense gets 45 sacks this year or something. Like, I wonder, because this team has been missing at quarterback, my answer is they've been missing at quarterback, they've been missing on defense. If Bijan has that year, those things come along too, most likely.
Yeah. I agree with you.
But I would like to think if he gets over 2,000 all-purpose yards, he gets a lot. He is at least in the top five voting.
Yeah, man.
What do I know, you know?
Inject that in my veins, man, everything we're talking about. Look, we're going to continue some of this Michael Penix conversation on the other side. Does something weird with a food staple that I haven't quite wrapped my mind around. We'll also go in the huddle on the other side. Make sure you stick with us. This hour been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service. Be right back. 7:24 a.m. Thursday morning, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mike, Allie, Bo, and Garrett kind enough to hang out with us today talking about the Atlanta Falcons, Michael Penix. Obviously, the Braves, a roller coaster night last night, results in a loss. They cannot get back to 500. But it's been a fun show so far, guys, and talking about Michael Penix's interview with Bryant McFadden that dropped yesterday, a day in the life of Michael Penix. A couple of cool things coming up with that. Also, got a mic'd up coming up in the next segment, and we're going to talk a little bit, as we have before, one time or two times on the show, about the difference between go-to-sleep shows and actual series that you're watching with your spouse, because we kind of broke into that conversation yesterday. But I got a new go-to-sleep show that I think really – my wife and I, we really meet in the middle on this one, so I'll get you all updated on that. Real quick, I do want to go to Garrett. Garrett had some good stuff, Bo. We were talking about how many yards Michael Penix could possibly throw for and what would be acceptable. Now, granted, Garrett did a deep dive, and he was talking about rookie quarterbacks. Michael Penix, and I think this gets – mistaken a little bit too much. Michael Penix is not a rookie this year, even though it feels like he's a first-year starter in week one, but he's not a rookie. But Garrett, you had some great stuff about some possible stats for Michael Penix.
Yeah, I mean, the important thing is I consider him a rookie just because he's made three starts. So by your definition, yes, he's just a first-year starter. I think that's probably a better way to say it. But for the sake of what I did here, I did this maybe like 2-3 weeks ago about what realistic expectations would be for Michael Penix this season. And I went back and looked at the NFL Rookie of the Years, assuming that they were quarterbacks, over the last, I don't know, 10 quarterback Rookie of the Years. And I came out with a number that I feel like would be strong for what Michael Penix could do this year. 3,500 yards, 20 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. That's what I came down to. And if you really look at it a little bit deeper and you say, okay, would you take 3,500 yards, 25 touchdowns, and 9 interceptions? I had people who said, no, that's not good enough. And I would counter and say, well, that's what Jaden Daniels did last year.
Wow.
And we need to calibrate expectations for Michael Penix. I'm not saying, like, lowball him.
This is the old Abe Gordon argument, Bo.
But I don't want to
lowball him. I think this is a little bit different than the Abe Gordon argument, but I think it's similar, if that makes sense.
It does.
I think Garrett's penciling in that he is going to – when you say – see, that's the funny thing is Garrett said Jaden Daniels, and everyone thinks of him as an MVP candidate this year.
He's and up there. I think he's top five in the
again,
odds.
But this is also – like, this is high end. This is rookie of the year. This is best case scenario.
I understand, but I think we got to remember when you're a second-year player, there's higher expectations. And all Abe said was he needs to see more. He's not sold that he is the next. Because I think there's been a little bit of crowning for Michael Penix. He's been crowned he's clearly a franchise quarterback, and it definitely points that way based on something we saw. But to Abe's point in his argument, and what you and I said yesterday, Garrett, Mike, and I said yesterday, like Michael Penix missed throws in that Washington. Sit here and blame Raheem Morris's timeout all we want, and yes, it aided and abetted the loss, but Penix hits London in the first half when he's wide open in the end zone. Game, the score's different. Penix hits Mooney on that bench route, crossing route, when the timeout wasn't used, you're in field goal range right there. So, in better range than you were when you kicked it. So, he has to grow too. But I think you're onto something. I would take 3,500 yards with 30 touchdowns and 10 picks. That's a very efficient season with a guy that you just came off of 1,800 all-purpose yards in Bijan Robinson. You got a two-headed running back monster, right? An improved defense, hopefully.
Hey, Bo, would you also take this? 3,000 yards, 19 touchdowns, 13 interceptions from Michael Penix.
3,000, 19 touchdowns.
No, that's too many turnovers 13. For me.
That sounds like Kirk Cousins' numbers.
Well, these are Drake May's numbers extrapolated over 17 games. He's also in that same category as somebody who you would consider a franchise quarterback, no?
Well, hold on. Now, here's the thing. To me, I think you're judging and indifferent because Drake May did that with essentially throwing to you and I, Garrett, with Mike as the only offensive lineman. I mean, he didn't have any help up front. He didn't have any weapons really around him. He pressed a little bit at times with the bat. I think it's different when you're on a bad team. The Falcons are not expected to be the team that they are, were. Like, that's the thing for me. So that's 13 interceptions. I can't have him turning the ball over. You know he's going to fumble. I mean, the fumbles happen, so there'll be three or four fumbles. I can't have almost 20 turnovers from my starting quarterback if I want to make the playoffs next year.
I do want to look. We're going to continue that conversation. It's going to be fun, you know, literally until September when we have a better understanding of what exactly he's capable of. And honestly, the changes, in my opinion, that Zach Robinson makes in this offense. Real quick, before we get to End the Huddle, which has a couple of interesting tidbits today, there was something that Michael Penix admitted to in his interview with Bryant McFadden that he kind of plays with his food. Yes, let's hear it.
I got a weird thing I do with these.
What you do?
So I put it in my hand and I ball it up into a ball and I eat it.
Just
like
that?
It's like the texture of it. It's kind of a weird thing I do.
Yeah, so he's talking about the Hawaiian rolls and how he balls them up to the size of like a ping pong ball, Allie. It's weird.
This is very common. This is something people do.
What?
Yes. I promise you, buy a thing of Hawaiian rolls and your son is going to smush them and eat them.
We have them all the time. We have them all the time in our home. Now, I don't remember him ever, like, just straight up eating one just as the roll, put stuff on it or whatever, but I don't know, man. Like, my dad managed a grocery store for 40 years. I don't think I've ever heard of anybody just squishing up a Hawaiian roll in their hand and eating it like it's just a snack.
It does change the texture. Michael Penix was right about that. You have to try it. Do a science experiment with your family. Squish them up and see how you like them.
Kids, come over here. We're gonna have bread balls for dinner. Yeah, what are these, Dad? Trust me. QB1 does it. Just trust me, okay? So if he does it, I guess, look, man, if Michael Penix does it, I'll get in the vibes and try that out. All right, man, let's go in the huddle. Interesting tidbit here, and I'm curious to see what Squid thinks about this. The Rams come out yesterday and say that they're going to hold mandatory minicamp in, drumroll please, Maui. And look, man, as a guy who has dreaded minicamp and mandatory minicamps and everything else along the lines, take me to Maui, I might feel a little bit different. I got to tell you. Like, if you're like, hey, we're going to Hawaii, I'd be like, ooh, okay. I think I can stomach that a little bit better, especially if you stay for a couple extra days. I think I'd be down with that.
They're probably going to have some Hawaiian rolls when they're there.
Are they going to roll them up is the question.
Well, that is where they come from, right?
Supposedly.
Hawaiian rolls?
Yeah.
I don't like it. Well, I like it for this mandatory mini camp. Yeah, I'm okay with it. I know the players are. Seems expensive, though.
Yeah.
Does that mean ticket prices are going up?
I don't know. It's not that far from where they're at, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, probably ticket prices going up. I love it, though, man. I love the fact that they're getting out there. And this does lead me into talking about a little bit, guys, that the rookie minicamp for the Atlanta Falcons is this weekend. Now, talked about this before, and I'm just going to walk y'all back through this one more time. There is no battlefield outside of an actual war zone that is like a rookie minicamp in the NFL. You want to talk about an all-out war to see who can make the team and who can actually stay on the roster towards, you know, the veteran minicamp and everything else and team OTAs and guys that won't be. And I'm just telling y'all right now, it is insane. Like, when you are out there, there are bodies flying everywhere. And it's supposed to be like a tag-off period with, you know, all this stuff going on. The whole stay off the ground thing is non-existent.
I have a question for you.
Okay.
Is it cordial when you start the day, or is it competition from the moment you wake up?
It's actually more cordial at the end.
Okay.
Because everybody's exhausted.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
makes sense.
You see people flying around like speeding bullets the early part of practice, and then you realize, man, I haven't played football in a while. This is actually exhausting. And you get to the end of the day, and you're like, all right, man, like bear hug at the end. Like, just cool. It's all good. Just chill out.
I think it's kind of that. Allie, for me, there's something weird about competition that before it, if you're like all friendly and stuff, you lose that edge.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a thought process, and that's for some people that's real.
Yeah.
I know some people it doesn't matter. Some people can literally walk onto a game atmosphere in the middle of the game and completely turn it on. But some people build it up in their brain with this edge, and then afterwards it's all like there's a respect factor.
Yeah,
it's kind of like a fight, like, you know. A lot of guys, when they go into UFC fights or boxing fights, they're amped up. But then, dude, I mean, ding, ding. I mean, I just took everything throwing my punch at you, and then you hear the bell. And it's like, hey, man, respect the hell out of you. You're amazing. You know, everybody, they hug and everything. You're like, what's going on here?
Yeah, it's – look, man, bottom line is this. For some people, these rookie minicamps are the last time they'll ever put on pads. And a lot of them, already in the mental headspace, they're going to treat it that way. So when you get pancaked out there, don't say, well, I thought we were staying up. Just keep your head on a swivel, buddy, okay? That's not the end of the story. All right, we got to go to break, man. A lot of fun so far today. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. When we come back, we're going to talk about those Atlanta Braves and a day that almost was yesterday. We'll also hit a mic'd up, man. Do you guys have a difference between series you watch with the spouse and the go-to-sleep shows you leave on the television? I'll tell you one we found over the last couple of days. Stick with us here. It's the Morning Shift, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. 7:42, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. The Morning Shift, thank you guys so much for having us on in the car, on the app, wherever you get your sports talk radio. Thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. Mike Johnson, Allie Mack, Squid Billy, Garrett kind enough to step in. And the reason I give you the roster rundown is because Dylan is not in attendance today. And there is something that I think that normally on this show we would kind of lean Dylan's direction on. And that has been the Michael Penix do-rag conversation. Garrett and I, neither one of us even knew how to spell do-rag leading into this conversation today. And it's been something that, look, let's just straight up, I don't know much about.
I think it's embarrassing that y'all don't know how to spell do-rag.
Yeah.
Hey, man, this isn't an I before E conversation.
Embarrassing is a strong word.
It's embarrassing because the video clip Mike sent all of us when he was trying to share this video literally had the subtitles in there where they spelt out do-rag the right way.
I listened to almost all of it. I will throw that out there. I listened to it. I know it was a video, but I listened to it in my ear because dealing with the kids. So I just popped it in. I was like, let me check this out.
Oh, hey, speaking of kids, Porkchop and Amy are awake. Amy just sent me a video, and I guess I'd left SportsCenter on upstairs in the living room.
Yeah.
And they had that Rocky stat, like the worst start in Major League history. They're 6-29
so
or whatever.
Bad.
And it looks like Porkchop can see the TV, and she's watching it. And she looks amazed at how bad the Rockies are.
Aww.
And as soon as the graphic goes away, she like turns her head.
She'll have a Reddit post up before too long. No, I do want to point this out because we're going to do wake up call coming up at 8 o'clock. And the conversation came around. It's like that durag has become part of Michael Penix's persona. Like he's just like, I'm kind of trolling at this point, but I always have it on. Maybe there's an accessory that you guys always wear. I don't do chains or bracelets. I always have my watch on, which is a Garmin. But you know, I'm pretty much straight up backwards hat, you know, watch and whatever else. I don't have like one garment. Now, Allie was telling me that Grant has something that he wears on a daily basis, which I find very intriguing.
Yeah. He has these bracelets that he wears. They're grounding bracelets. They're different. It's going to sound ridiculous, but they're crystals, and different ones have different properties, like black tourmaline. He got me this one that recharges and absorbs bad energy. You can wear green jade for luck. And I got him, I think for his birthday, maybe anniversary, I'm not sure which, but a different one that has a Morse code message in crystals that goes around.
Mm-hmm. You were right. Grounding. That does sound ridiculous.
What'd you say?
What does it mean? You said grounding?
Grounding. It just has different properties.
Yeah.
It's supposed to instill different things.
Yeah, it's like a wearable tarot card. You know,
if you humble or
it just it just reminds you, be grounded, be present, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, there you go. Grounding bracelets.
Okay. I'm just curious. I didn't know. Don't have grounding bracelets.
We got to get into this Braves conversation. Maybe there's an accessory you wear. Maybe there's not. I don't know. Maybe somebody can let us in on the durag conversation around Michael Penix wearing them. I thought it was interesting that he wears it in the shower, then takes it off when he gets done in the car. Like leaves the complex and he's like, all right, now I'm in the car. I'm just going to take it off.
Yeah.
It's become part of his persona though. So maybe there's something out there. Somebody has an accessory that they wear on a daily that's become part of their persona as well. Maybe it's just me. For me, it's a backwards hat. Maybe that's just what it is. My kids have like, hey, Daddy, I got a hat like you. And they turn their hat backwards.
Aww.
Like, yeah. Anyways, so the Braves conversation, Bo. And like I said, I want to invite everybody in a wake-up call, 404-726-0929 at the top of the hour if you want to talk about Michael Penix. Maybe there's something weird you do with your food. My wife just texted me. She was like, I definitely have rolled up a Hawaiian roll before. But she gets discredited because the way she eats her cupcakes, and we've talked about this before, she eats the icing first and then just throws away the rest of the cupcake.
Whoa.
It's a little bit weird. Yeah, she takes like one bite of the rest of it, and then she's like, I think I'm done. I don't know.
It's kind of like that Seinfeld episode with the muffins.
Yeah.
You don't know the episode, do you?
No.
They only eat the tops, right?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, okay.
And then they donate the rest to the shelter.
Yeah.
And so
she probably ends up donating the rest to me most of the time when she has a cupcake. She's probably like, hey, eat the rest of this. I'm like, all right.
Are you just the garbage disposal there?
I am. At my family, yes, I am.
And I ask that because you always talk about how Mike is big, like Mike, and I give him a lot of credit, Alec, because he's big, like, I'm not going to give you the just wait thing.
Yes.
He goes, but then I'll tell you, just wait till your kids, you got to cook, you're cooking food and you just eat all their leftovers.
I've never said that. I've never said just wait, but it is a thing. You become like, you'll cook your kid 4 chicken strips and they'll eat 3. And you're like, are you done? They're like, yeah, I'm full. I'm like, oh man. All right. Last one down the hatch.
I've witnessed this with my sister. Her kids will eat like half the sandwich, and you see the little bite marks out of the sandwich, and she'll put the rest in a sandwich bag and eat it later. I'm like, that's...
Yeah. If I just straight up threw away the food every time my kids were done, quote unquote, we would waste so much food.
Yeah.
Waste so much food. So we try to save it for the next day or whatever else we can do. So, like I said, maybe there's something somebody out there has about Michael Penix and him rolling up his Hawaiian roll. Maybe there's something weird you guys do with food, or maybe you can bring us in on the durag conversation and say whether or not it's crazy that he wears it in the shower. I don't know. We'll have that conversation at the top of the hour coming up at 8 o'clock. Real quick, we got to get back to the Atlanta Braves. They fall last night to the Cincinnati Reds. They had the opportunity, Bo, to come back square at .500. They were not able to get it done. We keep flirting with this number. We thought maybe it would happen before the end of April. It didn't. Here we are a week into May. It didn't happen last night. So now there's more of an uphill climb. Now you're 2 games back under .500, but a couple of missed opportunities last night for sure.
It's becoming the Eleanor of the 2025 Braves. It's been really hitting with runners in scoring position. But I thought they did. First off, Riley Green, the pitcher for the Reds, is a very good pitcher, and he throws some heat. He goes out injured, and I immediately thought, we're down 4-0. That's your opportunity. because Grant Holmes was a little bit shaky last night, and he was very upset about his performance. But you inch your way back, and you've got a situation where Michael Harris gets a hit. You know, there's a runner on, two out, and you've got three or four guys you can choose from to come in and pinch hit, right? You could leave Eli White in. You could go to Sean Murphy because he's not played. I would never pick Orlando Arcia. I mean, I don't even know.
I would have picked him over Eddie Rosario, but yes, your point stands.
No, I wouldn't. Eddie Rosario can at least run into one blindfolded. Arcia, I don't think, could hit one with a 2x4. And then there's Eddie Rosario, who you joined the team like a week ago, and that's who they chose. And, I mean, we got it. I mean, we can hear why Brian Snitker thought that was the best decision.
Yeah, this guy's got better numbers off right-handers, way better. And thought maybe Eddie could recreate some old magic.
Yeah, look, this is going to fall flat on me. And I'm a big Brian Snitker believer. And I will say this, Allie, too. Last year, I wondered, hey, is Brian Snitker a Braves Hall of Famer?
Mm-hmm.
And Grant, like called in on his own almost and was like, it's the most ridiculous question I've ever heard. Absolutely, he's a Braves Hall of Famer. And he deserves to be treated with respect. There has just been, and Bo brought it up earlier, just don't say that. You know what I mean? Like, just tell me that there's better numbers behind it, or, you know, you felt good about the hard contact rate or something I'm probably not going to look up. You know what I mean? Just lie to me in some of these situations, Brian Snitker.
It sounds like you're trying to put, like, $50 on red. Yeah, you know, like you're going and putting money on the roulette table. It's like, oh, maybe we'll find some old magic or something like that.
Just, the odds were just as good, you know.
Like, just say, I don't know. There are, like you said, there are 1,000 other things you could have said.
Just
there.
Leave the detail out. Yes. You know.
I don't need to know, dude. Just tell.
Garrett,
tell
you're right. Yeah. You're right, though, Garrett. It's like I don't need. It's the Kirk Cousins thing. He's turned into Kirk Cousins. You can tell me everything without telling me everything.
Yeah.
I don't need to know every detail, right?
Yeah.
I mean. And he did this the other day too with the Kelnick thing where it's like, I didn't even see it, to be honest with you. No, don't tell me.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just say
just leave that out, something. Man.
I mean, and I love that he's that honest, right? We always want, this is the problem with fans, and I'm a fan, so I'm lumping myself in. We want to know everything.
Yeah.
But when you tell us too much, why'd you tell me that?
Yeah.
And I would have left Eli White in. I think Allie said that earlier. She'd have left Eli White in. I agree with her there.
Just your friendly everyday reminder that Mic'd Up is brought to you by Buffalo's Cafe. Come wing it family style at one of Buffalo's Cafe's 13 Atlanta locations. There has been a conversation ongoing on the show, and obviously we do a lot of binge watching, do a lot of series watching. We've talked in depth about White Lotus and The Last of Us and, you know, everything else that's going on. And here's where I'm at on this, all right? My wife and I have kind of come to a crossroads where Allie's learning it now. Bo knows this. Like, when you have to get in bed early and you're trying to watch the end of the Braves game, there's also, like, my wife is sitting there going, hey, I really would like to finish the end of this show or whatever it may be. So we have in my house what's called go-to-sleep shows. Like, we have shows that we're plugged into, like, just off the top. Like, I'm going to watch that from start to finish, that episode, try not to fall asleep, keep my eyes open. But we also have shows, and think in the realm of The Office, things like that, that you just throw on. You're like, I don't really care if I see the end of this. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just kind of a throwaway moment, right? You know, if I fall asleep, I fall asleep. I don't have to go back the next day and be like, oh, my God, what happened? So my wife, my throwaway shows always are usually like Gold Rush. Like, things like that where it's like, man, I want to see this Gittrick. Bering Sea Gold or Gold Rush Whitewater. Like, I love all those shows where it's like, there's a chance they could get rich. There's a chance they could find the mother load and they could, have $1 million in the show. I don't know. Like, you know, it doesn't really, Naked and Afraid, Gold Rush, things like that. All right. My wife loves to when we're going to sleep or when we're just laying around, she loves Hoarders. Hoarders to me is the grossest show.
Yeah.
But I will follow along with her and she'll turn on Hoarders and I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, I guess we can. Yeah. If you want to watch Hoarders, like, that's fine. Like, I don't need, like, it's so nasty to me. Not only that, I feel like they are just completely exploiting these people. Like, you can tell that, like, 80% of these people have a mental illness.
Well,
you know what I mean? People, like, we're just putting them on blast.
First off, those people need to be outed because they have they do have a mental illness, but they refuse to get help.
And that's
so
it.
Therefore, they need to be shamed into getting help, apparently.
And again, they do a good job of providing them help.
Yes, the show does provide services to help them out of their situation. And at least if you're not interested, it's easy to fall asleep to.
Exactly.
That sounded insensitive. I actually think those shows are hard. What I said, not what you said.
Yeah,
I actually don't think those shows are easy to fall asleep to.
Okay, well, let me finish, and I'll tell you which one we added last night, and you tell me if I'm on the right track. So what I found the other day, and it's funny, Bo, because I found this show because I was pulling up the driver cams on HBO Max. You can watch all the in-car cams on HBO Max for the NASCAR races now. They don't even have the race on HBO yet, but you can just watch the in-car cameras.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was pulling this up, and I see this show, and it's called Filthy Fortunes. All right, Filthy Fortunes. It is the perfect marriage between what my wife likes to watch at night and what I like to watch at night. It is basically this guy that has been on Hoarders before. He's one of the, you know, people that help clean up.
Okay.
And he has started his own show or has his own show now. And what he does is he goes into hoarding situations and he offers the people just a split of whatever he finds that he can actually go and sell at auction. So he goes in there and he's like, all right, look. You got a Mustang in the garage. You got a collection of baseball cards, this, that, and the other. It's going to cost us 10 grand to get all this stuff out of here. When I'm done with it, I'll give you 60% of whatever's left, but I want 40%. And the stuff this man finds in these places, just straight up, 76 Mustang. He sold a marble collection, guys, a marble collection the other day for like $80,000, like a collection of homemade marbles. It is the perfect, for my wife and I, it is the perfect go-to-sleep show that I can even think of. Like, it is Hoarders for her.
Yeah.
And it is Get Rich Quick for me. That's, and I'm like, dude, bring it on. It is awesome.
It sounds a lot like that show they used to do where they would go and buy they would buy the lockers, you know, at the storage lockers. Storage Wars. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah. Storage Wars. Yeah, you're spot on, dude. Spot on, but it comes from Hoards instead of storage lockers. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Allie, the problem for me with this is I get locked into shows like that, and I want to know the ending, so my mind normally will keep myself awake because I'm stimulated enough to not go to sleep. But with, like, I do, like, old TV shows and stuff because I know how it ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been good for me, man. I don't know if maybe you guys out there, you have a fall to sleep show. Maybe you just turn the TV off, which is the normal thing, but I can't do it, man. My mind races when there's silence, and that's what I have figured out about myself. I don't like the silence, man. That's when I start thinking and wondering and staying awake. We come back. We're going to do the wake-up call at 929 Morning Shift, 404-726-0929. I want some insight on the Michael Penix do-rag situation and what you guys think about it. I also want to know, look, man, maybe there's a weird habit you have with food, like he smashes his Hawaiian rolls, or maybe you want to call us and tell us what a good go-to-sleep show possibly is in your house, man. Stick with us here. We're going to do a wake-up call on the other side. 404-726-0929. This hour has been brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service.